In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Glad to be with you today, even though my voice is not the best. Come, Holy Spirit, come, O Spirit of Jesus, wonderful Holy Spirit, come with your love, come with your presence, come. Come, wonderful God, wonderful Jesus, come and open our hearts to the grace of God today in the Word of God. I would really recommend that every person would read the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapter of Romans. 9th, 10th, and 11th chapter of Romans. Very important. I'm reading from the 11th chapter of Romans. First verse. St. Paul says, "I say, has God cast away his people? Has God cast away Israel? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew." No, he has not cast away his people. "Even so, then at this present time, there is a remnant, just a remnant of Jews, according to the election of grace." Just a remnant. Why a remnant? I'll tell you why. Because the cross was proclaimed. The cross was the stumbling block. Because the Word of God says, cursed is the man who dies upon a cross. How could this Jesus be Messiah since he died upon a cross? Unfortunately, our Jewish people, our Jewish friends, brothers, sisters, call them what you want. They are my brothers and sisters in the faith. They did not read Isaiah 53. They did not read about the suffering servant of Yahweh. They did not read the 49th chapter of Isaiah. They did not read the 50th chapter of Isaiah about the suffering servant. And the scripture says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as to as many as received him, he gave the power to become children of God." But let me also tell you this, God has not forsaken his people. God has not forsaken his people. His people, though they said no to Jesus, they were the opening for the Gentiles to come into the kingdom of God. We are living in the time of the Gentiles. What does that mean? It is the time of the Gentiles to come to Christ. All of us are Gentiles for the most part, unless you are Jewish. We're all Gentiles. And because the Jewish people said no, God opened up the way for the Gentiles. But there will be a day when the Gentile believers will be like the Jewish believers of today. There are dribs and drabs of Jewish believers that come in today. Dribs and drabs who hear the word of God and give their life to Christ. Dribs and drabs that have surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus. One day it will be just the opposite. It will be the time of the Jews, and there will be dribs and drabs only of Gentiles who come to Jesus. It will be the time of the Jews because God's gifts are irrevocable. God's gifts are irrevocable. They are irrevocable. When God chooses a people, it's not for a time, it's for eternity. When God chose Abraham, he said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, and blessed are those who bless you. And cursed are those who curse you." This is real. This is real. I bless my brothers and sisters that gave us the law, that gave us the prophets, that gave us the sacrifice, that gave us the people, that really gave us the Messiah. I bless them. That's why it is such a blessing to be on radio. Because I know there are Jewish people who hear me. I know there are Jewish people who hear me. They would not come to my church, but they do listen. They're in the automobile right now. You know who you are. And it's so wonderful. Because the gospel, the scripture says, is that the Jew first and then to the Greek. That's the word of God from the 10th chapter of from the first chapter of Romans. The gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Greek. You must remember that when Paul started his mission, he never started with the Gentiles. He would always go to the synagogue and preach Jesus. And even though they would stone him and cast him out of the city, he would there be there preaching Jesus, because the gospel would be to the Jew first and then to the pagans. So this is the way it is. God has not forsaken his people. You must remember that when God called his people, he promised to give them a land. And so there are three things always: the God of the people, and the God of the land. The land is Israel. When he called us as Christians, he's promised to give us the land. There are three things: the God, the church, and the land is heaven. Hallelujah. It's not a physical land. It's the kingdom of God that he promised would come in the Holy Spirit if we prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is not God's will that we live the way we're living. It is God's will to bring the kingdom upon the earth, because that's the way Jesus prayed. He prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is the will of God that heaven would seep through the church. It is the will of God that heaven would seep through. It is God's will that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the will of God. And we pray this prayer so glibly. We pray this prayer so glibly. But I'm telling you, it is God's will that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the will of the Father. When the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," he says, "Pray, our Father who art in heaven. Holy is thy name, glory is thy name, thy kingdom come. Yes, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus announced the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Why do we see so little of the kingdom of God? Because we see so little of the Holy Spirit. Because the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but it is in joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who brings in the kingdom of God. It is the Holy Spirit who brings in the kingdom of God. It is the Holy Spirit who brings the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is more than healing. Hallelujah. I believe it. I know it. I experience it. Isn't it wonderful? The kingdom of God is that the poor, the broken, the needy, the outcast would come into the kingdom. That those that nobody else wants, that the church would proclaim the word of God to, that would love those people that nobody else loves. The prostitutes, the drug addicts, those that are addicted, those that have no one but God Almighty, no one but Jesus himself. The kingdom of God is made up of a table. The table is the table of the Lord. I'm not talking about the Eucharist at this point. I'm talking about the table of the Lord, that he says, when you have a reception, you do not invite those people that are going to invite you back. You invite the poor, the needy, the broken, the prostitutes, the blind, the deaf. Those are the ones you invite, because they're not going to invite you back. That's the table of the Lord. That's the table of the Lord. All these poor bums sitting around the table. Oh, with Jesus as the Lord, Jesus as the center. That's what it's about. And I know it's nice to have the lovely people. Isn't it nice? I love the lovely people myself, but you know what? Everybody's nuts. When you have a reception, you invite the people that aren't going to invite you back. You go after the outcast, because the Lord is always for the outcast. The Lord is always for the underdog. The Lord is always for those who have nothing but him. He is. He's always for those people. You read the scriptures. You read the scriptures and you see all the poor bums that follow Jesus. But we're all poor bums. I tell you that. I'm a poor bum. I need Jesus Christ. Why did God call me? Because I was so great? No. Because he saw my need. He saw my sin. He saw my sin. He saw I couldn't do anything on my own power. He called me because he loved me. Because he decided to put his grace upon me for no other reason. Not because I merited it, not because I was a good boy, not because I was a good doobie, but because he chose me. No other reason. Why? I have no idea, other than love. And I'm going to tell you, I'm one of those preachers that tells you, you know what, I'm poor and I'm broken. I'm needy. I'm going to tell you, I come from the land of broken toys that have been discarded. And that's when Jesus picked me up. And still he picks me up. The land of broken toys that have been discarded. That's where I come from. But you know what? Everybody does. All those people that have smiley faces, we all come from the land of broken toys, the toys that have been discarded. And Jesus comes and takes us and does what he needs to do for those who will surrender to him. See, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. It's nearly not changed. Oh yeah, you can put on a happy face. Oh yeah, you can just pretend. But you know what? I come from the land of broken toys, discarded toys. Jesus came. Oh yeah, just like Ezekiel 16. Your mother was a Hittite, your father was an Amorite. You were weltering in your blood, and when I saw you, I picked you up. Oh, not for any other reason, but I decided to put my love upon you. That's who I am. That's who you are. And you know what? Not many people preach that, that they're just as broken as everybody else. Because you know what? We want people to think that, you know, we're just a little better. I do the preaching, and you know, I'm just so much a little better, just a notch better than everybody. No, no. I'm not better than anybody. I am not better than anybody. I'm just from the land of broken toys that have been discarded, and Jesus decided to put his love on me. That's who I am. And as a matter of fact, that's who everybody is. Not because we're so great. There's nothing to do with greatness. I was telling the people last night that I had come from East Boston and all my friends are dead. They either died with drug addiction or alcoholism. This is really true. All the kids that used to walk to school, high school together, they're all dead. I was never offered drugs. Because I'm a good doobie, no. Because I knew how much I needed Jesus. And God protected me. Did he have anything to do with me? No. Everything to do with the Lord. I come from the land of discarded toys, broken toys. But Jesus came. Decided to put his love upon me, just like he did to Israel in Deuteronomy 5, 6, and 7. Just like he did to Israel. And that's the way it is. Just like he did to the church. Because again, the church are made up of those broken people, discarded people, the poor, the broken, the needy. But does he want to bring them into healing so that they can go out, do miracles, and preach the gospel? See, though I come from the land of discarded toys, broken toys, and Jesus put his love on me, he gives me the ability to preach the gospel so that people who come from the same land can be filled with the Holy Spirit and start doing the great awesome works of God, proclaiming the witness of Jesus Christ and bringing people to Christ and praying for healing and know that God's going to heal people, you know. He finds us in this brokenness. And you know, even though the brokenness doesn't all go away, he uses the broken and the poor of the world to confound the wise. You see, because when people tell me that they're too weak, I said, no, you're not weak enough. You're not weak enough because you see, if you were weak enough, the Lord would, you would give yourself to Jesus. No, I'm too weak. I don't have anything. No, you're not weak enough. You're not weak enough because if you're weak enough, you just say, Lord, I surrender it. And it makes no difference how weak I am because the power of God comes to weak people. Power of God comes to broken people. That's why when I read about some clergy member who's found a sinner, I just say, oh, my Jesus, I know they did wrong. But my Jesus, how much you love them. How much you wanted to go after them in their brokenness and there was nobody there for them. Okay, they did wrong, they sinned. But Lord, how much you wanted to go after them because you love them and there was nobody to go after them. Or they couldn't go to anybody else because they were afraid because they thought that you have to have a smiley face and they were as broken as everybody else. That's why I'm always for the underdog. Because that's what Jesus is. He stands for the underdog. I'm always for the underdog. I have to be. I have to be. Because that's where Jesus is. And I have to be where Jesus is. You understand that? I have to be where Jesus is. Because if I'm not where Jesus is, I'm where the devil is. I have to be, or the world is, I have to be for the underdog. I have to be, because that's what Jesus is. And I understand underdogs, we're all so messy. Oh God, we are so messy. We're like toothpaste, you know? The toothpaste coming not only out of the top of the toothpaste holder, but in the middle and from the ends, and it's all squirting all over the place. That's who we are. That's who we are. Messy. When our Lord became a human being, He took on a messy flesh. Humanity is messy. There's nothing clean about humanity. I am never scandalized about humanity because I know what I could do without the mercy of God. How can I be scandalized with any sinner? Because I know that I could do worse without the power of the grace of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Therefore, God has not cast away His people. He has not cast away His people. But it seems like the Obama administration is casting away Israel, throwing Israel under the bus. It is sad for me to see that the administration now is throwing God's people under the bus, because God's people and God's promises to His people are irrevocable. The present administration kisses up to Iran, who is now having nuclear capabilities and eventually capabilities to nuke us. But they want to nuke Israel because all the Arab nations want Israel into the sea. Listen, I went to college at Salem State. I took a geography course with Mr. Sally. He was the best teacher. I loved that man. And when we studied the continent of Africa, the first thing we studied was Israel. And I learned in 1966 that the Arab nations wanted to throw Israel, destroy it into the sea. In 1966, I learned that. That's when the United States were so into Israel. Now Iran building nuclear weapons. And we kiss up to Iran and we throw Israel under the bus. And that's very sad. Because if we go against the apple of God's eye, God will completely take His hand off of the United States of America. And I believe God has two apples of His eye, Israel and the church, the apple of God's eye. And one day there will be one. It is time for God's people to start praying, because we are on the verge of a war that will end all wars. And there is no clarion call. There is no Ezekiel 33, which is the watchman warning the people. I don't hear watchmen blowing the trumpets, getting people ready for what might happen. I'm not telling you it's going to happen, but it seems that it might happen. And I'm going to tell you, there'll be a war to end all wars. Because as Iran gets nuclear capability, Israel will not tolerate it. Because they want Israel into the sea. And that means there will be a world war. We can't deal with the recession. Never mind a world war. The statistics are that 10% of Catholics in Boston go to church on Sunday, and some of them just once a month. God forbid during World War II, our parents, our grandparents, they knew where to go when things were bad. They found their knees. I don't understand where people will go now, because you know what? People don't need God anymore. At least that's what they think. They don't need Jesus. And as I said before, it's kind of sick that the only prophets we have are people like Glenn Beck blowing the trumpet, warning the people. You might not like Glenn Beck, you know what? I think God does, though. I think God does. He is doing what no leader is doing. He's trying to get the people ready. First of all, he says the church needs to turn to God. The people need to turn to God, just like our founding fathers. Because without turning to God, we have nothing. Without turning to Jesus, we have nothing. Where will people go, God forbid, if there is a world war? I have no idea. I have no idea. I just know one thing. I know one thing. Devastation is real today. I have with me again Father Ilrich. Devastation is real today. Haiti was devastated with an earthquake. People sent millions and millions and millions of dollars for the poor. And guess what? The authorities have eaten up that money. It has never leaked down to the poor and the broken. That's why I don't give my money to anybody but to the people that are there. Millions and millions and millions of dollars have gone to the institution, to the people who run Haiti. Father Ilrich wants to build an orphanage because Jesus told him to. And he's trying to get the president to help him, to back him up. Not a cent will they give him. Millions and 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 millions was sent to Haiti to hell. You know who's got it? Most of it? The politicians. It's very sick. But I'm telling you, I'm for the underdog. I'm for the people in Haiti, and I'll do what I can to get people to give us money. I'll do what I can. Father Ilrich, tell us about the young boy that you spoke to who was in school, was going to school in Port-au-Prince.
Yes, I talk about the surmain à Saint-Denis University in Port-au-Prince. In September, Jesus told me, don't send him this year because many things going wrong in Port-au-Prince. But I never know. But I told him, no, don't go to Port-au-Prince this year because there is something wrong about you in Port-au-Prince.
And Father Ilrich wouldn't give him the money, even though he had it, to go to Port-au-Prince. Father Ilrich would not give him the money. But somebody else, some other institution, sent them the money. And so he went to Port-au-Prince. And what happened?
During the earthquake, he come back, he die. So he's going to Port-au-Prince. I tell him no, but he's going. After earthquake, he come back, die. So sometimes you never understand when God give a message, then you need to open your heart, let the Holy Spirit upon you, because you need to do what when God give you a message, you need to receive this. He do what God want you to do. So, thank you for everything. Continue to help my people. I ask God to bless everyone. Help my people in Haiti. I give my blessing for Father Val in Memphis. Many people support my country, my ministry. I bless Father Steve and Father Grace in Nashua, Parish Resurrection, New Hampshire. All people support us, all parishioners at this parish support my country. If I'm going to start the orphanage, because the people in Nashua, Memphis, build a parish hall, this parish is going to finish, then I can bring some children from Port-au-Prince. stay during the bad season in Haiti. So continue to pray for my country, support my country directly. I know so many blessing women, blessing men, blessing teenagers go to help my people directly in Haiti. I know you do many things for my people. Continue to do something, continue, and I ask God to continue to bless you, give you many things. Then you can't continue, please, to help my people and pray my people. My people have a gift for you. Just, it can give you money, nothing, but it can give you prayers. That my faith, the faith of my people, and when I look at them, they pray everything, everywhere, for you. That they can pray for you. I pray for you. I ask God to continue to keep you, to bless you, always. He bless Father Tom also for his ministry. Then thank you so much for everything.
So we really need to hear from people. I want you to send checks to In Season, Out of Season on the memo, write Haiti, so we can give it to Father Ilrich. Everything you send that says Haiti will go to Father Ilrich. You know, he has 10 young children living in the rectory where he lives, and he took them from Port-au-Prince. Their parents are dead. Their parents are dead. Again, we need to be for the underdog. We need to be for those people that are broken. Imagine having babies, the kids that have no mother and father now. So he also has a little baby that he took into his house with his mother, and the mother has died, and they're bringing up this baby. He's 8 months old, maybe. We need to hear from people that are going to help these poor and broken people. So make your checks out to In Season and Out of Season. Please, please, please. Everybody who hears my voice, every station, I can't even name them, but I don't have the time. Make your checks out to In Season and Out of Season, and place upon the memo Haiti. In Season and Out of Season, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. And please be generous for God's broken people. Remember.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.